Welcome back to the podcast, you beautiful soul. I've got an inspiration with me today. This man, I connected with him and I was inspired by him almost 10 years ago when I was really early on my journey. The French hero, Quinton, he's a seven-figure earner in network marketing, real estate investor, entrepreneur, business builder. And honestly, as cliche as this sounds, the best compliment I can give about Quinton, he's a good fucking human being. He's just a genuine guy. You'll love his energy. He's got a beautiful French accent, which you guys will enjoy today. Quinton, thank you for joining me today, brother.
Look, Lewis, thank you so much for the invite. And, I don't know which one is the inviter or the invitee, but, you know, I take it as a big privilege to be on your podcast. And, you know, back to you, you know, everything that you're doing is super inspiring. It's funny how, you know, our path crossed, you know, almost 10 years ago. Yeah. And now in how, you know, how amazing you are for the big community out there, for your audience, and, you know, truly inspiring. It's funny that yesterday there was someone, a Frenchie, brand new in my business, you know, that comes to me and says, "Hey, I see that you're following Lewis." And I'm like, "For sure." So, you know, you start to have a serious big impact out there, bro. And it's very inspiring.
Thank you, my brother. And something that, I look forward to hearing your story. So we'll get into that because I don't know your story in full. I've heard obviously snippets and I've seen it around. But yeah, I'd love to hear your story, man. What's your story of how you got involved with network marketing? Or you can start there or start wherever you want. But yeah, what's your story, man? I know you've got a rugby background and I love rugby too. What's your story, man? I actually don't know it.
Yeah, so let's start maybe from, you know, the beginning. So I'm a Frenchie. I'm from France and you know, close to Lyon. I was born in a very, very, very nice family, like, you know, full of joy, full of love. I've always been close to my parents, and my dad especially was a big sports guy. So running, playing rugby, playing football, basketball, you name it, the garden was always full of, of activities. And, you know, around age 18, that's where I was, you know, kind of very good in you know, basketball and rugby. And I took the path of rugby to go full on. And a couple of years later, I was starting to play at the, you know, highest levels for the young teams, which allowed me to go and play in Scotland at the age of 20. I was studying business management in Edinburgh. I left my, my home, my friends kind of behind me, but it was, you know, for the better. And I think that was the most challenging years, as, you know, I was just for the first time independent. So I was not financially independent, but I was independent. And the feeling of taking full responsibility for my life, for myself, was the start of the discovery of my better self, let's say it this way. And so after a year and a half, I came home and I was picked by the team of Grenoble, which is a, you know, super nice team, professional team in France, close to where I was living and where I was raised, you know, close to Lyon. And I did those 2 years of rugby there where it was big discipline. There was a lot of competition between the players. Even though it was healthy competition, it was still competition. There was sacrifice. There was no alcohol. There was no nothing. So it was really the path to become a professional rugby player. And what I remember, Aussies, you know, come in the picture at this moment where they allowed at this time in the French rugby championship to have a bunch of foreigners to come and play. And that year is the year where they could have a lot of the Aussies and New Zealanders, the Kiwis, and different, you know, nationalities to come in. And they got rid of many of the French youngsters and upcoming, you know, players. So it didn't allow me to sign in. So many of my friends were in the same case, and two of us decided, instead of staying in France, to go play in Australia. So originally, I went to Australia right after the season I went in Canberra. So Queen Bee and White, that's the team that I went and played for. And it was, you know, the, how can I say it? You know, I was expecting the waves and the Gold Coast kind of thing. You know, dream was in Australia. That's the kind of, you know, the beach. And I arrived in Canberra and nothing wrong. But I was like, oh my God, that's not what I expected. So there I play for a few months and everything goes well. Big bonds with the guys, friendships. The level was a little bit less, you know, so it allowed me to have a bit more fun around the rugby. So I was not eating rugby, sleeping rugby. There was a bit more enjoyment. And so after a few months, I just decided, you know what? The season was about to end. We did not make it to the playoffs. So I decided to go and travel to the Gold Coast. I decided to take my bags and I say, you know, whatever I might stay, you know, a month before I get home, I had a potential semi-pro contact back home where I would be making, you know, whatever, anything between, you know, €1,000 a month, which is okay money, but it starts up money. It's not big money. To maybe 1.5 a month. So I said to myself, look, you know, there is this on the side, but let me just be in the discovery mode. So for the second time of my life, after Scotland and now Australia, and being into that discovery of myself, that's when the most beautiful things happened to me. And at this time, that's where I met with Herbalife Nutrition, where I had the chance to attend to an event where I would learn about for sure nutrition and, you know, products and complementation, you know, supplementation, sorry. And that's how I started learning about network marketing and how to build an organization. And it all made sense because I was a sports person. I was into, you know, health and fitness. I always loved helping people and I wanted to do something with my hands. I did not want to just being, you know, sent away to different rugby teams and wait and put my life into the hands of someone else. So really, at this time where I attend my first meeting, it was the 4th of August, 2012. I was 22 years old. I had big dreams in my head, but I did not really know what to expect. But actually what happened was meeting with, you know, this guy, his name is Jared, and he's the guy who introduced me to network marketing. And he really made a difference in a way that he read me. He read me, he saw my, you know, he saw my dreams. He could tell that I had some goals. And most important, he just didn't put any pressure on me. He just said, hey, look, this is a very normal independent business where you can succeed. And it's really the average man's best chance to succeed. Yep. But you got to fall in love with health and fitness. And I'm like, but I'm already in love with health and fitness. So the first thing that came to my mind was, you know, let's open some free fit camps on the beach. And I had one guy from rugby also who was with me. And we started together the beach fit camps, you know, the boot camps, being on the street workout bars. And one thing that I was definitely not afraid of was talking to people, talking to strangers. So I was already into the, you know, the mindset of let's meet new people, let's discover, let's, you know, do some fitness together. But the beautiful thing happened right there is I did not have any limits. I did not have any fear. And what happened was we started with being two or three on a fit camp and we went all the way up to 10 to 15 week after week after week, all the way up to 50 challenges and fit campers. So of course, you know, I started earning my first income. And that's where I started to feel like, okay, I'm a true business owner. Now I've got something in my hands where people are paying for a service, people are paying for products. I'm designing sports and nutrition plans, and people are having results. So I really started taking myself seriously where I had a plan to stay and learn as much as I could in Australia. But let's say 4 or 5 months later, It's the first time that I decided, okay, my time in Australia is not done, it's not finished. But for now, I want to concentrate on my French markets because most of my circle of influences are there and I want to be home and I want to build this thing right. So I went home, flew home, and literally started, you know, the big game, you know, the big, big game started right there, where I actually had my first feed camp with four people in Grenoble. And four is a big, it's a funny number. That's the date, you know, where I started. But that's also the number of my, by the way, I thought we were going to be 20. I was coming from Australia. Everyone was going to follow me. We were going to be 20 feet campers. Anyway, we were four. But that's when the big game, as I said, you know, started, where the following week we were eight, and then we were 12 and 20. And within 3 months, we were 100 feet campers. But a year later, I duplicated and I built my concept around feed camps and energy and motivation, you know, 1 hour heat training. To actually, within 1 year, we had around 10 different feed camps, more than hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of customers. And long story short, within 3 years, you know, of doing right business and sustainable business, we had over already 200, you know, business partners, and we were looking after 2,000 customers. Yeah. So today we have more than 20,000 customers.
Wow.
I always keep saying that we do not only retail products, or we do not only do nutrition. We're working on, you know, health and fitness, yes, but on mental health. We are taking care of our customers. We want to make sure that they live their best life. It sounds cliche, but to really live a healthy life and that they take advantage of who they are. So, you know, that's my story, bro. And of course, you know, last 10 years, because that was 11 years ago when I started, but within the last 10, 11 years, for sure, I diversified my income, went into real estate. You know, now we are building this new massive house in the south of France. I've got, you know, my podcast also, Build Your Initials, that is starting to, you know, to grow day by day. So things, you know, and, you know, to be excited for. And again, when I see, you know, true entrepreneurs like you, who are, you know, you sound so genuine, bro. And every time you do a video, it helps. So, I mean, you know, it's funny how people who succeed, they do not only look for the right income opportunity, but they are looking for, you know, the right purpose opportunity. So once we are on purpose and we love what we do, I think that's the glue, that's the link that allows us to, you know, to live our best life.
Yeah. Beautiful story, man. It's so inspiring and your energy is so captivating. I know it's one of your best traits, and man, it makes me want to go do a fit camp again. It makes me want to go do it again. So really cool. Something like I would love to know inside of your head for a little bit, because you say it so easily, like it's nothing there. But even from my experience, I was very socially anxious. I had a lot of fear of talking to people, and just your level of action taking is insane. Like you say it so simply. Yeah, look, I found this opportunity, so I just started a fit camp. I didn't, and you're not even from the country. You're in a country you don't know many people. Your circle influences back home. But you're like, you know what? Let's just get started. Let's start the fit camp. I'll just start talking to people. There's no fear with you. And I like to know inside your head, because for the people listening, there might be people like, because we'll talk about opportunities. We'll come back to that soon. But it's like opportunities are everywhere. There are opportunities, like the opportunity you have for so many people. Like you could, the opportunity that you've taken has changed your life and changed thousands of people's lives. That opportunity is out there for everyone listening to this podcast right now. By the way, if you're looking for an income opportunity, message Quinton on Instagram. But there will only be a percentage of people that take it, because a lot of people have fear. It won't work for me. I can't do that. I'm scared. I might fail. Was that even part of your, was that even inside of you at all? Like you just seamlessly did this stuff. But yeah, I would love to know a little bit more about that.
I think, so think of it, Lewis. It's amazing. Thanks for the question, by the way. When I was going to get picked in Grenoble, the funny story is I invited myself. Like there was this, training camp day where 50 other players were going to be in to try and get the five spots available to play for Grenoble. So they were going to pick five players. Usually you get an invite to come to that camp training. I sent my own rugby videos to the manager. I called the manager. I followed up with the manager. I was just 20 at that time, you know. So I was picking up the phone. I was trying to make sure I would get a hold of him. And then finally he answers. And Jerome is on the phone. And I'm like, you know, I would love to come to, you know, I did not get an invite, but I'm sending you the videos. Please take a look at it. And if you like it, you know, like the look of it, you know, please let me in. And I'm sure I can be of value. So I remember I kind of did it afraid. So I was not 100% confident in the outcome, but I was confident that I didn't want to let the opportunity pass. So there's been something always inside of me from a young age. I was short, right? So I don't know if it plays a big role or not, but in everything that I would do, I would try to make sure that I was not left behind. So I don't know if it's, you know, I've seen the video yesterday you did around, you know, the healed person and the not healed person and the alpha males and the beta. And I just think that genuinely I had to overcome some of, you know, those fears of letting, you know, of being behind or left on the side or not being heard or something like that, where to myself, I just wanted to not let opportunity pass. So when that happened for Grenoble, I went all in. And that's the reason why I got picked. By the way, I could have not played any better that day. Scored many tries, saving tackles, good in defense, good in communication with other players, good supporter. You know, everything was there. So I was the fourth player getting picked. And, you know, when I would be meeting some new people, I just kind of knew already who I was. Being able to perform in sports and being good in sports, I knew my identity. So if people would be like, you know, and that's what I teach every single day. If you do not know who you are going to come into a conversation and you're going to be like, oh, what do I say? You know, you come to a party, you don't know anybody, you just know your friend who invited you, and you're going to be on your corner and you cannot wait till no one asks you a question. Or if one person comes and asks you a question, you just hope the person is as shy or as kind of, you know, low-key as you. The thing is, I didn't have that because from an early age, I started traveling. I was, you know, I was having the identity of a sports person. And I just kind of genuinely loved people because from a young age, my parents were, you know, growing fruits and veggies, and we had markets on Thursdays and Saturdays. So now that all makes sense where, you know, when people would ask me, I was just like, no, it's normal. But that also played a big role because for me, it was a game to sell the salads, to sell the tomatoes, to sell the potatoes, yeah. To say hi, like, oh, your baby's cute. You know, I was 8, you know, but your kid is cute. And then I was 10, and then I was 14. And then 16, and then I could drive the truck to get there. I was the one, like, you know, being independent. So the minute that I had my driving license, I could actually be the one, you know, putting in place and putting the whole setup. So just for you to have an idea, we would serve around 100 customers on Thursdays and Saturdays. So it was not the biggest market, but I was neither a small market. So the, you know, I've always been very social thanks to who my parents were, thanks to what they were doing as a job. My mom had a bed and breakfast going from when I was 12. And so receiving people also and talking to people, that's always been part of me. So then I applied that in me taking opportunities for rugby and then for business. And I just always say this, you know, people are not gonna yell at you or reject you, you know, because you are nice. By the way, it has nothing to do if someone is, you know, doesn't want your products or your service or doesn't watch your content or doesn't follow you. It has something to do with them, because as long as you know that you're doing something right for the other person, then you're fine. So I always learned that, you know, rejections, objections, people not following, it's part of the deal, right? And a no is never the final answer. No might mean next opportunity. So, you know, there are a lot of things, though, that I learned that I might make sound easy now, but I had it inside of me, but also for sure, been in network marketing and been on big stages and learning from the best and having a big, you know, so many leadership schools, I can tell that helped me develop my language and my communication.
Beautiful, man. I would love to know, do you have, say, so I can just picture someone right now listening to this and they're like, they know there's an opportunity to start a podcast, start the business, take the opportunity, ask the girl out on a date, do something, go to the gym, sign or do something. But there's that voice or fear in their head of whatever the story is, something's going to go wrong. I can't do it, whatever it is. What would you say to that person listening right now who's wanting to take the jump, but they're holding themselves back? What would you tell those people?
Look, I love the question again, Lewis. You're the best. I'll tell you a story with Fraser Brooks, and I'm sure you've heard of Fraser Brooks. He's, you know, how does he call himself? Well, you know, it's mainly other people that call him this way, but he's like the network marketing ninja, you know, and Fraser is, I can tell you guys that he's also one of these persons on this planet who truly want to make an impact, and he has a purpose way bigger than just doing business. He's got a purpose to really, you know, bring awareness to people that they have this, you know, giant inside of them, you know, that inner kid that if you tap into that, you can become, you know, the best person ever. And anyway, Fraser, I call him and I'm like, bro, you know, I'm about to become a dad. You know, I was thinking about relaunching my podcast because I want to do some amazing stuff. You know, which kind of, what's the best Spotify and Apple podcast and what is it? And he's like, bro, you need to get onto, you know, gave me some tips. He's like, you got to get onto Anchor and that's where you upload your videos. And from there, it relays on the different platforms. And I'm like, okay, done. 5 minutes later, my account was recreated, and I shot my first podcast probably 5 minutes after the call. I'm 10 days in, and every single day I committed myself to have one podcast a day. Now, why is it possible? Because you know that you have something to share. So for everyone listening right now, you need to first ask yourself the question, what is it that I can share? You know, if there was one message, where do you start? And then you need to write down the first subject that you want to talk about. And you might want to talk about your story, something that happened to you, or, you know, what is your business or what you aim to do. Just starting with what you aim to do with your podcast or writing an article or writing a book. You know, just start with the aim of it. And then you go on to the second, second note where, what is the next thing I want to talk about? And what is the next thing you want to talk about? And people who fail to plan, they actually plan to fail. So for me, for the first one, I was just like, hey, I just want to say, hey, here I am. So then my first episode, the name is Here We Are, you know? And then I've got like some, you know, foreigners and Frenchies, one day is in French and the other day is in English. So I decide, I was always the fast executor. You know, we say plan, but plan and execute on the plan. And 5 years, 10 years from now, we'll see people that were thinkers and they'll be kind of fail, even though they had great ideas, but you don't only get paid for the ideas that you have, or you don't get rich or happy or excited just by the ideas that you have, but by the ideas that you put in place, that the ideas that you act upon. So 5, 10 years from now, the action takers are the ones who are going to be the success. And that's what I see from you. So again, how do you become that person that can act kind of big, that can share a message out there, that can become someone of value? You need to first know what you can bring to the table. think of the first subject, the two subjects. Think about the first things that you can talk about. Make it about your story, make it authentic, and just share from your heart. So I don't know if that really answers the question, but maybe it's going to lead to another one. But that's what I kind of had in mind, Lewis.
Beautiful, man. Yeah, it's something that I've really enjoyed because we haven't spoken too much. Like, we've spoken a little bit on Instagram and obviously when we connected a long time ago. But something that's really I've gathered from this conversation is a lot of self-identity, understanding who you are, knowing who you authentically are, knowing purpose, doing something that's in alignment with purpose. And that's really aligned with me. So I really love what that is. It was pretty much getting the person to get clear on their own value and then starting from there and starting to share it, starting to talk about it, starting to take action upon it. So yeah, that definitely landed with me. This is a question I like asking my guests because it gets me to have a little bit of insight of what goes inside of your head. What's something that you think about a lot, but you don't get to talk about a lot?
Something that I get to, that's a really nice question. Something that I think about a lot and that I don't talk about a lot. Man, I gotta think. I just think that I've never really talked about me having the fear. So see, there's been fears, you know, everyone has some, you know, I'm sure. I just wanted to work so hard because I was feeling complete with my purpose. You know, I was feeling like it was the deal so that I would not think about my long-term relationships. You know, when my parents would ask me, you know, Quentin, you know, when is Quentin going to get married? Or when Quentin is going to have, you know, the real family life? And, you know, I was like, you know, it's not the time for now. So I've never talked about, you know, being a person of, you know, I'm going to have all these kids and I'm going to have the big family and I'm going to be like, you know, I'm going to be, you know, living the true dream. Like, I've never spoken about it. So neither today I speak about, you know, I say to my wife and we, you know, you can see it when we are together and it flashes your eyes, you know, same on Instagram a little bit, but there's nothing like being one-on-one and face-to-face. And that's when I would share, like, this is truly my best life ever right now. I'm living, you know, the real life that I've always wanted to live. Share this life with someone that has the same values, the same goals, the same ambition, the same drive, the self-identity. Sunjay is someone who is so strong. So I don't really, you know, it's going to be one of my subjects in the future, but I'm not going to go on stage and brag about my relationship. Neither brag around, you know, guys, actually, I did not really know where I would end up. So I would just, you know, focus on working really hard because I just wanted to be in the right relationship. And for sure, I was having, you know, my time before and different relationships. But the true thing was I always had love to give, but I did not really know if I would really have the person to spend the rest of my life with. So that part I don't share because I was like, maybe it's never going to happen. And today, when we got introduced, it's funny because, you know, Patrick, one of our common friends, you know, when I didn't know Cynthia, he said, hey, I found, you know, there is someone who's the feminine version of you here in Belgium. And he said to Cynthia, hey, in France, there is the masculine version of you. So when we first started connecting, you know, it was like, oh my God, that all makes sense now. So it took a few years, you know, to be in a line. And, you know, for the past 3 years, I can tell that, you know, my life has transformed, not from the physical outlook of it, but from an inside position where I can tell that I'm acting from a free will that I know for sure. We never know for sure, but what I know for sure is that I commit to our long-term relationship and I cannot wait for the next few years and, you know, of our life.
Beautiful, man. What is a relationship? What has it taught you? What I talk about a lot with my message and my work of your relationship is the magnifying glass for your inner work, for your triggers, for what upsets you, for what they push your buttons. And for me, it's like the ultimate, I posted this quote a couple of times that people really have enjoyed, but no amount of seminars, books, mentors, or self-development will prepare you for the container or the work that will happen inside of an intimate relationship, because they see you like we haven't spoken in years, and I'm only going to see a certain side of Quinton today on this podcast, but your beautiful wife is going to see a lot more than you when you haven't had enough sleep, when the sink breaks, and you're putting together some cupboards and stuff at the moment, and she's going to see you when, like, she's going to see more sides to you. So I would love to know for you what's been maybe one or a couple of the bigger personal lessons that you've learned from a relationship and how that's improved you as a man.
I think that there was no one. I've had a tough time just, you know, right after the start of our relationship, where my dad got hit by a car and he was on his bike and he had to stay laying down on the bed for 3 months. He had 33 broken bones. You know, the hips, you know, the ribs, the shoulders, I don't know how you name, you know, the tibia, the peroné on the legs, but, you know, it was a torture to see. And that really hit us hard because we didn't know if he was going to be able to walk again. Was he going to have to need to have like a stick, or everything kind of turned out well, but he still has, you know, he's not 100%. But I can tell that he's been so freaking strong, and my mom has been so strong with my dad. I mean, they showed me again what is true love and picking the right, you know, being that person that can pick the other person up when it's its moment, his moment or her moment. And I could tell that my mom was there right there at this spot, at the lowest point of my dad, where she was there to raise him. And I would see my dad also being that person for my mom. What I'm truly grateful for is when I saw how Cynthia was there, genuinely full of love and also full understanding, like, oh my God, you know, Quentin is not well. And right there at this moment, there was nothing else than just taking care of the other person. So it didn't last for months and months and months. But there would be moments in the day where I would be home, I'd cry, and I would think about the past and how it was, and I hope my dad's going to get there again. And she was just there to share, to talk, to reassure. And there was one lesson there at the start of our relationship that no matter what and how low it can get, you know, I have a person that just really, really, truly loves me and that just wants me to be well. And then I can tell that through our successes, because Cynthia is also very successful, we both have big teams in our respective countries, and now we start to do business in more and more countries, international. But with the travels and the successes, also it's easy to be a part of an environment that is positive and always progressing and everything. But I can tell that the relationship doesn't make us like do the wrong things. You know, when you are living the true success, you can live of abundance. You know, abundance is really good, you know, to certain extents where, you know, there we are doing so great. We are getting applause by many people out there. And we just come back to the hotel room. We're in our bed cuddling. And that's when it feels right, you know. And the relationship allowed me to also being back into the cocoon where of love, and right away being like, oh my God, that's a very happy place also. And when you have it, it feels as nice as your work and your craft and the stage and the talks and the recognition. So it's a few things that for sure the relationship told me, but Cynthia always talks about ego and, you know, leave the ego aside and, you know, let's do the things right. And, you know, doesn't matter our titles or identity. Yesterday, as you said, I was doing the commodes and I was, you know, I don't know if you guys have IKEA, I guess. So yes, you have IKEA.
Yeah.
Brand, and, you know, I was putting, we have some beautiful, you know, furnitures, but there was one or two things that we grabbed from IKEA, great stuff also from there. But we wanted to have our personality, but still we have this one, and I was putting it together and Cesar was filming me and, you know, laughing at me, but in the same time feeling grateful that I would do such kind of things. Whether before, even back in 2019, I'd be like, I have no time for that. You know, I'll get someone to help me with that. Who in the team can help us doing this, right? So I would not really push myself through. But I did that just because I wanted to make her feel happy, because it was about the baby. And it's kind of things that also the relationship taught me, that you are going to do things for your partner that you would not even do for yourself, maybe in some way. So yeah, that's, I can tell that love, passion, and peace, that's what the relationship, you know, brought me.
Such beautiful, man. And baby's on the way, is that right? Oh, have you got a first
one? Podcast right now. If since that calls me and like, you know, my water broke, we need to go. So in the next few days, the due date is November 10th. Okay. So it's going to be, week from now.
That's exciting. But, man,
you know, no one of us is actually stressed about it. We cannot wait for it. And it's just a new reality.
What excites you the most about becoming a dad?
I think to share my love and my knowledge and my experiences, and to have this time of giving back, because I give back a lot to friends and partners and team members, employees, staff. But I can tell that giving back to your kid, I just think I cannot wait to see our future family, our future kids, you know, but obviously the first one, our first baby boy, to grow, to see them transform every day, to learn from what we've shared with them, and not to be the kind of parent where we're going to yell out at our kids because of this and that, but we can actually share, you know, and why. The why is so important. You know, why don't we do things like this? You know, why do people behave like that? And I have this time. So today, not only we have the financial freedom, but we have the time freedom also, where we can design our days the way we want. And I cannot wait for him to see me in action, because the best leadership is leadership by example. Yeah. So when he's going to be in my podcast and my feed camps and my stage time, like, I cannot wait to inspire him and to do a lot for him. And in a way that, for sure, I think your family is your favorite supporter. That's what I believe in. I just cannot wait, bro.
That's exciting, bro. And I can feel, like, I know everyone who's been listening can feel the authentic love and joy from you. It's just so captivating. And I'm sure it flows through your team and your friends and your loved ones and your family. So I look forward to staying tuned and seeing how it goes. Good luck, and sending love to you and your beautiful wife as well. So, mate, we've got I've got time for one more question for you. So if you were to write a book and to leave it for, do you know if I think you said a baby boy. Is it a baby boy that's coming along?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. So if you could only leave three lessons to your son and to the world, what would those three lessons be?
That's a good one, bro. First, I would say take your chances. Take your chances. Don't let opportunities pass. Doesn't mean you have to jump on everything, but being smart about taking your chances. If you feel there is a chance, take it. Mm. The second is be grateful for those who have helped you. The first people that I think of are my parents, you know, for sure, that did so amazing. But be grateful for the people who helped you and keep helping you. So my parents. And I would talk about Jared, you know, who handed me an opportunity that changed my life around. And then all those people that you cross paths with, you know, they become my friends, and some of them become my partners, and so on and so forth, because they helped me in a way. So be grateful, practice the attitude of gratitude. That would be my second lesson. And then the third one is become better at writing things down, you know, plan, you know, write things down, get things out of your head, you know, stop the anxiety, you know, you can stop it by reading the right things, surround yourself with the right people and writing down your own goals and writing down, being the one that holds the pen when it comes to writing your story. So write a story. And yeah, that'd be my top three.
Look, beautiful, man. Is there anything that you want to share at the moment? Anything on your heart? Is there anything that's coming through you right now to wrap this up? Is there anything you want to share with my audience that you want to leave this with?
I would just like to, you know, congratulate you for literally everything you're doing out there, bro, because it's not only inspiring, it's also teaching. And you're this new version of those big names, teachers, and people that really make a difference in the world. Not only in sharing, you know, cool stuff, because sometimes we see, you know, more and more Instagrams that it's just about making the, you know, some likes and the case and everything, because they want a validation from their audience. We can tell that you are sharing from a point of view that it brings value to people and it can solve some problems. So keep solving some problems out there. Keep shining. And guys, to listening to the podcast, I can, you know, you guys know it. If you went throughout, you know, to the end of the podcast, I just want to say, you know, keep looking around, you know, and keep, you know, keep being inspired and keep in touch with Lewis, because for sure, every time that I open my phone in the morning, you guys had a day ahead of us in Australia. So your stories and your videos pop up first for me. And thank that you. Makes a big difference. So again, thank you so much. Keep smashing it, bro. Keep lighting the world. And hopefully we'll see you in person very soon in Australia or anywhere around the world.
I'm looking forward to it, man. Me and my partner want to do a bit of traveling in France is on the list, man. So is it for people that are listening, they've made it to the end, they want to connect with you. And seriously, guys, if you're looking for an opportunity in terms of like a financial vehicle to grow, to be healthier, to have fun, if you want a bit more of Quinton's energy, where's the best place that they can connect with you, man? Where's the best place?
Yeah, I think, you know, my name is QR24 on most of the platforms. So the number one that I answer quite quick is Instagram. I have Facebook, I have TikTok. My podcast is also QR24, Build Your Initials. So I built my initials and it's my turn to help others, you know, build theirs. So that's the name of my podcast. And yeah, QR24 on Instagram is where we can find me.
Beautiful. Thank you for your time today, brother. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you very much, Lewis. Thank you.